Blog Talk Radio.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand in the street singing songs and a carrying sign, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. Good evening, guests and everyone in the chat room, Gordo3456. Welcome to all our retired and serving military, those who will be listening to this show after the podcast, as a podcast, welcome. This evening, and probably for the foreseeable future, I'm going to be focusing on issues related to the removal of the usurper from the office of the presidency. This has just gotten to the point where if we in fact allow this to happen without question, it becomes precedent for any future foreign dual citizen to enter the presidency. So with that in mind, I'd like to start out, as I usually do, with refreshing our memories about what John F. Kennedy said, which was, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution, violent rebellion inevitable. We don't want to get to that point, but we've got to be very clear. What I see is happening right now is an absolute full-on assault on everything in our country. And as opposed to fighting every single battle, I think we must start with the usurper himself. Maybe that's too hard to get at, but that is the most direct violation. And it's been going on a long time, so there's precedent for violation of the Constitution. So you can hear them saying, well, so what? So anyway, I want to start first of all with a review sort of where these eligibility, where we've been, how the issue came up, what kinds of activities have happened, and maybe what the results of those activities have been, everything from the legal cases to the other activities that have been going on, and then to take a look at including the usurpathon and the other activities, and see what's missing. What are we missing? What are we doing? And what the future plans might be, where we need to go. So in that regard, I would like to focus on the case as well of Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin and how that plays into all of this. This is an urgent situation, and we must address this. And then I'm going to be very pleased in about a half hour to welcome Gordon Smith, a disabled vet who wrote a letter to John McCain, which was published in the Post and Email today, and it's quite a good letter, which I'll be reading later. So let's start, first of all, with where we started. Now, it was, I would say around April, May of 2008, and many will claim they knew this in 2007. I don't doubt it. That there were concerns raised about who Obama really was, whether he was a citizen, whether he was not, where his birth certificate was, so forth and so on. There was so much pressure on this that Obama had to basically acknowledge it by putting up an explanation on his website. And that was on the Fight the Smear site. I guess it ended up being Fight the Truth site and so forth, where he first of all put up a what we now know as a forged certified certification of live birth. And we all know about the corruptness in Hawaii and how easy it is to get those things and so forth. So he put up that, and we all dove down that rabbit hole and found out it was a forgery. And then he also put on his website that, oh, well, yes, indeed, he was born a British, you know, the British Nationality Act. He didn't actually say he was born British, but he did say that the British Nationality Act governed his citizenship at birth because it governed his father's citizenship, and that subsequently, of course, he had Kenyan citizenship. He seems to imply or did imply that that those citizenships didn't matter, that he had gotten rid of them. But as we know now, that you have to affirm your Kenyan citizenship. He took a trip there when he was about the right age in order to keep it. And then with British citizenship, you don't ever lose it unless you absolutely just renounce it. But there, of course, are no records of any of that. So, and then you go back to his book, Dreams of My Father. And so there it is. He has already admitted his father is a British subject, a foreigner, and so forth. Now, I assume most of us who are on this program know that the concept of natural-born citizen that I believe and so many others believe, and the law suggests that natural-born citizen is a person born in the country of two citizen parents. So on that basis alone, we all thought back then, back in June, he didn't qualify at all for that. But somehow we did get diverted on the birth certificate, which I thought was very interesting. I'm turning to the chat right now on Good Evening, No Nonsense, Nancy, my compatriot, and the Usurpathon. We're back. We're going to do more things, and I've got some interesting ideas for all of us. Anyway, thanks for coming tonight. So as we now know then, the two things that I know now, which I didn't really connect back then, was he was a dual citizen. He was an admitted dual citizen. So we all know now as well that we dove down into the birth certificate and got so distracted by that pretty much up pops Phil Berg, who then takes on the birth certificate issue and then files suit against Obama and so forth as a candidate at the convention and continues to file suit in that regard. And, you know, had a record basically of dismissals based on standing. When you look at that case, basically anybody can run for office. Anybody. can run for office. But you just can't serve if you are not a natural-born citizen. But it was going after the birth certificate and essentially assuming he was born in Kenya and going after that information, which was good sleuthing and got a lot of information. And that was immediately discredited, as you know. But the case may not have been ripe, if you will, and was dismissed on standing because anybody can run. And he was not elected yet. And the drastic measure of calling off the election, you know, it was too late. Well, unbeknownst to most of us, there was this other researcher, JBJD, who I have interviewed here on Revolution Radio, who found the trail of how Obama got to be where he is and on the ballot. And it all ties into the corruption of the Rules and Bylaws Committee and Nancy Pelosi falsely certifying to 49 states, you know, well, to all the states in the union that Obama was a natural-born citizen, when the only thing that was available at that time was the certification of live birth and his books, which indicated he was a dual citizen. Now, we can go back to the fineries to find out, you know, if he was born in Kenya, then he doesn't have American citizenship because his mother was too young. If he wasn't born in Kenya and was born in the United States, at least he has American citizenship. So that would make him a dual citizen. So, you know, we got into places of birth and stuff like that, but nobody said dual citizen. Because if you ask anyone on the street, I bet you, can a dual citizen be president? They'll all tell you, say no. That's at least one thing that you know. And that's very different than saying, can a non-natural born citizen be president? And then the whole thing with the birth certificate got, you know, everybody going with born in the USA is the only thing that natural born citizen means. And indeed, when you do the research, you find out that that's how everyone's been educated for the last 35 years. Is that natural-born citizen just means born in the USA. So this has been paving the way for this kind of thing. But again, to keep it away from the issue of dual citizen, which is a fatal error, as far as I'm concerned, was masterful. To focus on the birth certificate was another masterful, you know, effort. Now, you know, we can speculate as to provocateurs or not. I don't care. This is where we are right now. And I didn't think of it either. But like I say, JBJD had found the fraud with Nancy Pelosi. So, you know, if we had known it and were aware of that, then we probably could have stopped something or at least begun election fraud proceedings and so forth, because it's pretty much, as they say, dead to rights, got her dead to rights on election fraud. So then along we have Orly Tates as well coming along. Orly Tates had some different examples, and, you know, Leo D'Onofrio was writing a lot about Quo Warranto at that time, and there were a lot of efforts that seemed very good. And then all of them are getting dismissed on standing. And then all of a sudden the lawyers are all fighting with each other and taking pot shots and so forth. And the big issue was, are you going to go with the natural-born citizen concept, or is it the birth certificate? The birth certificate made it possible for people to say, oh, birthers, and, you know, for us to argue over things like whether an electronic image is okay or not, and as opposed to the real question is produce your documents. So what we have, and what the first link I put up in the chat is my post on precedent, because the longer we let this happen with Obama, the more precedent we're setting. But in fact, these two attorneys, Tates and Berg, and those in between, the cases were good because we do need to see the birth certificate now, but the only reason is to find out if Obama's American or not. And he may not be. And so it's a new twist on that. But the link between a birth certificate and eligibility, I don't think was really clarified as much as it might have been. So anyway, but what we have with Berg and with Tace is a record of dismissal on lack of standing, lack of standing, lack of standing. And even in the last Kirchner appeal, it was dismissed on lack of standing based on the Berg case, even though the Berg cases were completely different than Kirchner and Apuzzo. So in that regard, Kirchner and Apuzzo came along. Remember, Berg tried to stop the Electoral College, tried to invalidate those votes. Everything happened on January 9th, 2009, or January 8th, whenever that was, and Nancy Pelosi steamrolled it. Then Obama met with the Supreme Court, even though he was in litigation. I mean, his case was before there, so, so compromising everybody possibly could, because that's a serious compromise of the Supreme Court, to have a plaintiff meet with him, or a defendant meet with them while there's litigation. So they, these cases were serious, but they had to ridicule them, they had to destroy them, and they had to create a dismissal. And most importantly, they had to create some complicity with everyone, like the Chief Justice. So, but I submit that at any moment up to the day that he was inaugurated, he could have been caught. And that's what I think the nervousness was that flubbed up the oath. And I believe that it should have been taken exactly at noon, all of that stuff. It was taken twice, possibly three times. Who knows what document he used. The Chief Justice flubbed it. I ask what Papoos asks. How can you sleep at night, Chief Justice John Roberts? So anyway, along comes Kirchner and Apuzzo, who filed their case at 3 o'clock in the morning on January 20th, the day of the inauguration. And that is done after all the proceedings have been done, because all the proceedings had to get done, apparently, for a case to be ripe. They had to sue him in his personal capacity and then as he was president, but they sued him as president-elect right in that window. And they didn't ask for the inauguration to be postponed or anything like that. They said, they laid this whole thing out. Now, what has Obama done with that case? They've tried to dismiss it based on lack of standing and something else. It created a whole new straw man for that case. So the government's fighting this issue of standing, and Kirchner, Apuzzo, and Americans are fighting the issue on, hey, are you eligible or not? Certainly we have standing to raise that issue. But you see, there was precedent created by some activities that perhaps were not ripe at the right time. And then, whatever courtroom antics or mistakes that were made were magnified. And believe me, if you were in a situation like that, if you miss a dotting an I and you're crucified. Apuzzo had to submit information on the exact number of words that are allowed in certain of these proceedings. So now we have a year of Apuzzo's cases and Kirchner cases being dismissed, but look at the gold we also have right there, which is the fact that all the government has to argue in pro-Obama is lack of standing and lack of jurisdiction. If you look at the filings of Apuzzo, which you should just as an American citizen, there's this huge record developed that's pretty unbeatable on what a natural-born citizen is. So, if Congress ever gets to this situation and they ever ask the court for the information, who's got the information on what natural-born citizen is? That's the case record that will be reviewed. Obama's just got this straw man stuff. He didn't even argue 14th Amendment. He didn't argue anything else. None of that stuff. So we have some legal cases that developed a precedent of dismissal and ridicule. And we have, you know, everybody locked into this. So everybody dismisses it. I just submitted my second article to American Thinker on this, and I just don't know if they will print it. People are not getting to there. Once again, Glenn Beck does it. I mean, is it so hard? Would it be different if Glenn Beck understood that this was dual citizenship? So here's the thing. State Department just confirmed on their website that Obama's a dual citizen. Go ahead. Ask any American citizen, can a dual citizen be president? They'll tell you no. Those others might say, well, maybe. But even if it's a maybe, the court has to look at that question. So what we have for the first time in our lives in this country is a dual citizen. So now we have, you know, all the bloggers, including myself, you know, anxiously, every day, thinking about this. We've got all the articles going out. We've got all kinds of fabulous people writing treatises on this work. And then, you know, our group, the Stop Them Cold group, said, let's do a usurpathon, and we're still in it. And so we went to Washington. We made our signs. We wrote a letter to Congress. There are things that have to come up, which I will talk about very soon, that I would like to plan and throw out there. But in the meantime, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lagan's case is coming to a head, and the judge in September, Judge Lind, basically denied him any evidence. And what we have is Colonel Lagan. You know, he's not some big wig anywhere. He's just a guy who's served 17 years, very loyal, you know, humble, decent man, family man. Says, look, you know, I've worked for all this time, and you're not just going to come in here and just order me around here. I don't believe you. I don't believe you have the authority. So he did his own sort of quo warranto, if you will, although I'm sure that's not correct legally. But he basically called him out and said, you show him, I'm refusing to go to deploy to Afghanistan. Those orders come from the president, and I refuse, and I need to see this information. So, of course, the Army wants to court-martial him, and he needs the documents. Now, this is a situation that's emerging, and it just was on a radio show before where, you know, the new issues are coming up about the Lakin White Paper, which is essentially a critique of Lakin's own defense. And I want to just, like, throw this out here. We're not in a position right now to attack each other that way. We don't have much hope if we are going to be attacking each other's defenses on this or that or saying I've got the better view. When you look at Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, what does he need to know? He needs to know if this guy's an American citizen. He needs to know if this guy is eligible to be that. Yes, he could ask for, yes, it's true, that, you know, the father and so forth, that there are conditions like that, but what piece of paper does he need to prove it? He needs that birth certificate. And, you know, like any good lawyer, you never ask a question unless you know the answer to it. So he doesn't have one. Obama doesn't have one. He can't produce it. So the Army says, oh, it's going to be embarrassing to the president. Oh, you can't have that. You better find another defense. And some so-called patriots come to work and say, well, you should have pointed out that it was, you know, his father and his and all of that. But you see, you know, from what I understand, you know, is it possible to throw someone like that into the whole debate on what is a natural-born citizen, which really has to go to court? It really has to. And look at where that debate is right now. It's all on the birth certificate. Birthers are idiots, so forth and so on. So I have some empathy for the man who is in the ring. And his life depends on this and his family and his children. And, you know, everyone's screaming. Does this mean we are under martial law? Well, yeah, we have been since Abe Lincoln. We still are. Does this mean the chain of command is breaking? Yes. Because Lind is saying that the orders to court-martial and deploy come from the Pentagon. Lakin knows his orders came from Barack Obama. He has signed orders from Barack Obama. So what is this new mystery executive order that's come out? Is that going to say separate now the commander-in-chief from the Pentagon? Yes, it is very likely it will. He's going after the chain of command. If he can break that down, notice, as an aside, the rules of engagement in war zones that permit our soldiers only to fire when they've been fired upon, as in self-defense, prevent Barack Obama from going to The Hague for ordering soldiers into war illegally. See what I'm saying here, how deep this is? So to basically, I'm very disturbed to have anyone use Lieutenant Colonel Lakin's case as a vehicle to launch any other effort or to suggest that they're better off or not. I'd like to see people help this guy. So, you know, there's some high-profile people out there who are attacking Colonel Lakin's attorney and the defense strategy, and I have to ask all of us to just back off and find ways to support Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, you know, by funding his defense and so forth. Those who would have him go another way may have wanted to rethink their initial strategy on the approach. You don't come up to somebody with, you know, slap in the face, you're doing it wrong. If you want to help, there are other ways to approach things. So that is my very biased opinion on these latest efforts to trash Lieutenant Colonel Lakin's defense. And this evening on our show, we will have someone who is involved with Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, and we will be working on this in just a second. I see that you're on. In just a second, I'll be there right with you. We, of course, then went to the Serpathon, which is a very targeted, small effort. I think it's a good one, and I think I will relate a little discussion of that a little bit later, but we essentially got inside the belly of the beast, if you will. We had a chance to sort of slide in there and see some specific people and do some specific things and some scouting. There is clearly a bigger effort that needs to be done, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. And in the meantime, I'd like to bring on Gordon Smith, and I'm going to 541. I'm unmuting you. There you are, Mr. Smith. Gordon.
Hi, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you? Very glad to.
I'm joining us. Well, thank you for inviting me on the show.
Yeah. So I haven't a chance to read your letter to anyone yet today, but I hope you've been listening here. I've been sort of running around what has been happening. I don't know if you
For people who don't know me, if you want me to give you a little, you know, 30-second bio of how I even got involved in all this eligibility stuff, I can certainly do that.
Please do. Let us know who you are and what you're up to and how we can work with you.
Thanks. Well, you know, professionally, I'm a real estate broker out here in Oregon with my wife. We've owned a brokerage for about 20 years, but getting into the whole Obama eligibility thing, about a year and a half ago, I've never been into politics. As my British wife says, it makes her teeth itch when we even think about politics, but I just felt really strongly about the way this whole birth certificate thing was unraveling, and I finally got the nerve to contact some media people, basically asking them, you know, why don't you guys ever even, you know, put this on your front page or even your last page, letting the world know that there's a problem with this birth certificate. And I started with Newsmax, and I wrote all of the contributing writers that that write into Newsmax, and Barry Farber, the famous conservative radio show host from New York, is or was a contributing writer to Newsmax. And out of all the people that I wrote, I probably wrote 100 emails, and the only person that even wrote back to me, as you know, you never get any replies from these people, but anyway, the person who wrote back to me was Barry, and he kind of blew me away because he said that he was very interested in my concept about what's going on with the birth certificate. He really didn't know much about it, but he knew that there was a problem. And the question that I asked him was the most intriguing because the last part of my email, I said to him, you know, Barry, where are the Woodward and Bernsteins of this age? You know, doesn't any investigative reporter find a story to be like, you know, the thing that's going to win in the Pulitzer? I mean, isn't this an intriguing story? And his answer to me was, yeah, I do believe it's an intriguing story. So you want to come on the radio tonight with me on my show and we'll talk about it. So I said, gee, sure. So I went on the show for the last half hour that he normally has an hour show and he puts guests on for the last half hour. So I was on the last half hour and we talked about it. And he wrote me right back after the show by email and said, hey, that was great. You want to come on again tomorrow night for the whole hour? And I said, gee, sure. So so ever since then, that was like a year and a half ago. And we've become like super great friends over the last year and a half. I've been on his show about a dozen times, maybe two dozen times. And as a matter of fact, the whole Terry Lakin thing, I'm a 20-year veteran from the military, and I'm disabled. And this whole scene with Terry just really, really upset me personally. So when I contacted Barry about, 3 weeks or so ago, I said, Barry, you've got to get on the air with Terry and his attorney. Please interview them and find out what they're doing, because I felt one of the biggest problems about the Terry Lakin story was, as you said on your show about 20 minutes ago, you stop the average person on the street and ask them about dual citizenship. Well, ask the average person on the street who Colonel Terry Lakin is, and they go, who? So that's our biggest problem, right? That's our biggest problem right now, is nobody knows who this guy is. And if there wasn't a poster child that was the perfect person for the birther movement, I don't know who isn't besides Colonel Lakin.
And speaking of poster child, why don't you describe that poster that you crafted?
Well, you know, since I've known Barry so well, it's funny, I keep sending him emails when I think that somebody would be a good guest, and I was so impressed the way that the only media people that were doing anything, you know, positive toward the birther movement was WorldNet Daily, so I've become pretty good email friends with Joe Farah and David Kapulian and one of their staff writers, Bob Unruh. We write each other quite often. So I said, Barry, you need to get Joe Farah online one night and have a good yak. And he did. So after the show, Joe Farah went up to Barry and said, hey, we need some more staff writers for WorldNet Daily. You want a job? So Barry said, sure, great. So now if you look at WorldNet Daily, you see that Barry is one of their staff writers. So I thought that one of the things that wasn't happening, and I think you mentioned this briefly a couple seconds ago before I came on, was that, you know, everybody, you, me, Margaret Hemingway, who's Terry's spokeswoman, you know, we're all spending a lot of time on our computers, emailing and blogging and doing all the stuff we do, but it just seems to be very scattered, and it seemed that there wasn't a focal point of somebody really zeroing in on Terry and the whole trial situation, because to me, we can keep on working on the birther thing, but Obama and his clan are so skilled at playing this game that, you know, it's going to be a while before we can, you know, kick him out or do whatever we're going to do. But Terry's trial is coming up in a couple of weeks, and I thought, you know, we're really going to drop the ball if we keep on venting and blogging and stuff between ourselves, and you know, 3 weeks from now when Terry's case comes up, that you ask the average person on the street again who Terry Lakin is, and they go, who? He's going to get found guilty because nobody's going to care. And I just felt really, really strongly. As a matter of fact, after I got really, really committed again after the Terry Lake and Attorney show with Barry, because the morning after the show, I got an email from Terry, and it, you know, I'm an old Navy guy, but it made me cry, because he said basically, Gordon, I'm sitting here emailing you with my 2.5-year-old son on my lap, and multitasking, but, you know, and I want to thank you for all these things you did to get us on the show last night, yada, yada. But the bottom line is I have to get off now, because I have to spend some quality time with my family, because I may not see them for a while. And it just really hit me. And so today I got a really long email from Terry, because he knows that people like you and Margaret and I are doing everything we can to help him out. So he basically wrote me a very long thank you personal email, and it just kind of revitalized my efforts to keep on doing something until this trial, because I think if you and I and people like us don't keep this thing on the front burner, they're going to go after him.
Yep. Yep, and, you know, then he'll be locked away and gone, and the issue gone, and then that's further disclosed
exactly.
than anyone else. So, you know, I had the privilege of just breaking bread with Terry and just talking with him on, you know, non-legal stuff and, you know, all of that. And so from that standpoint, and because I've been coming at this from this perspective too, this is the man in the ring. This is who we have to work on right now.
Yep.
And
yep.
So in that regard, let me share with you, because this is the first time we've talked, and I feel so honored that you would just join this show just at a moment's notice. But I have been asked to be on Reverend Manning's CIA Columbia trial transcript, and they're trying to release it. And Reverend Manning wants to get this done quickly, because he is a friend and of Terry Lakin's and so forth. So he wants
right.
to get this done, get the stuff done quickly because of the trial coming up. I also
and he's been really supportive. I think his
yeah.
YouTube rant on Terry was seen by a lot of people.
Yes, it was a good one. I keep reviewing it and sending it to everybody I can.
Yeah,
So I'm wondering, you know, I'm wondering about the forum of a national press club conference. I see these generals coming out. I see all of these people coming out, and I want to do something that's really big that gets us on the table, but also to do something of the poster child concept that you have, which maybe I interrupted you before you could explain what it was. But
you asked me about that kind of poster flyer thing I sent you. The purpose of that was getting back to Joe Farah and WorldNet Daily. I'm still working on Barry. He's really, really busy guy like all of us, but he's got so many irons in the fire. But he's such a good friend of Joe Farah now that I'm kind of doing a nasty thing, but I'm kind of using my relationship with Barry to get to really bug Joe, because I don't know any other media organization that has the wherewithal to do it, and B, the exposure to do it. But without any kind of media, if it's just me and you blogging and stuff, that's great, and we get some people on board. But if my whole campaign to go after Joe was I wrote Joe and David Capellian and Bob Unruh one day, and I CC'd Barry, and I CC'd Margaret too, and I said, you know, guys, we need to have a real big focal thing on Terry in the next couple of weeks, because if nobody mentions him and nobody makes a big deal out of this trial, it's just going to be another, you know, back page story. And what a crime that after all the work that WorldNet Daily has done on the birther movement and all the where's your birth certificate signs and the T-shirts and the whole thing, that the guy who's really putting his life on the line and his career and the whole thing, I'm not saying that they're ignoring him, because there are a couple of news stories on WorldNet about Terry, but I just wanted to, you know, push those guys as hard as I could to do a big splash in the next couple of weeks and really get this guy's name out and what he's on about and what he's doing. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm still poking people in the side. But that poster, that flyer that I sent you, I just made that out of, you know, some software I had. I just, you know, basically took a picture of Obama and Terry Lakin and made a little statement like, hey, Mr. Obama, you got to make a choice here. You know, you can let Terry go or you can show us your birth certificate. You know, it's like you make the choice. It's as simple as that. You know, you can talk about dual citizenship. You can talk about Kenya. You can talk about Indonesia and all the crazy stuff that you and I blog about. But in the end, the guy's going to let Terry go to 4 years to 7 years of hard labor because he refuses to show a $20 piece of paper. I find that so unconscionable. I don't even know where to begin.
Yep. Yeah, and this is it. I mean, this is it. In terms of, the challenge. And you're right. If it's not gotten out there, we've got to do something. Now here's my distress. I just was on a phone, another Blog Talk Radio show in the last couple of hours, and I just heard, people just trash Lakin's defense because it's not getting to the concept of natural-born citizen. And, you probably heard me say, I'm making a statement here. I don't like that because we need to focus on the man in the room.
Well, see, that's,
all of those people who are criticizing could be standing there with us and saying, you know what, we need that.
You know, I talked with Kirchner and all kinds of people and I made a point to them. As a matter of fact, I sent a, not a nasty email, but I sent kind of a terse email to Charles Kirchner. I said, you and a whole bunch of other people are not helping. You say that you're behind Terry and you're doing, such and such, but you have got to lay off pretending like you're Terry's attorney. You may have your own position about what Terry should do. You may have your own ideas about what legal defense Terry's attorney should use, but if you're not on the same paddle, you're rowing in the opposite direction, and we can't afford that right now. Time is really of the essence, and if you guys are going to pick apart Terry's defense by saying, well, we'd like to help you, but if you do it my way, it'll be better. That works at a cocktail party. It doesn't work, when the guy is fighting for his life. So
the guy is in the ring. This is the man in the ring.
Yeah,
and,
the guy is
Obama.
I don't want Terry to wind up being a martyr, because
correct.
That's just,
we can't have that.
It would be so sad.
So I'm thinking Manning is going to get this stuff out right away. I'm going to recommend a National Press Club conference. I know those things cost money. I was about to just launch into something, of course, on my blog about a letter writing campaign to Congress and to everybody and phone calls and so forth. And then you and others, we've been talking about some other things. So tell me what you think. Well, how can we ramp this up in the next 2 weeks?
Well, I wrote Margaret today, and I said, Margaret, this is a really tough thing for me to say, but here's the issue, and if you don't agree with me, just let me have it. But, when you have – in real estate, when you're showing a house to a couple, a husband and a wife, if you're a good realtor, besides figuring out which house you're going to sell, sometimes you got to figure out first who the buyer is. And if it's the wife – then you got to better concentrate on her because, the husband may like the shop in the garage, but if the wife doesn't like the kitchen, you just lost your sale. So we have to figure out who it is in the Terry Lakin trial that we need to influence the most. And obviously the person we need to influence the most is the judge. And she seems like a really hardcore, tough, as Nail's army judge, and there's probably not a whole lot we can do to influence her. But that's the goal. You have to convince her to let Terry and his attorney have their military right of discovery. I got a whole bunch of emails today from ex-military people, and I was shocked. It was split 50-50. Half of them were saying, yeah, go Gordon, you know, let's defend this guy, and the other half was saying, nah, the bum made his own decision. He should have gone to Afghanistan, let him rock. And I was kind of shocked. Wow. So the Army doesn't want to be, or especially Judge Lind, she doesn't want to be the one to say to Paul Jensen and Terry, all right, we'll allow you to subpoena the official from Hawaii who controls the birth certificates. We'll allow you to get a copy of this birth certificate and present it as evidence for your discovery, because as you mentioned earlier in your show, she's already said in her pretrial thing that it's going to embarrass the president. So we're really up against it here because she doesn't want to be the one who calls up Obama that night and says to her, Rahm Emanuel, I've got some really bad news for your boss. That's why the congressmen and senators aren't replying to us or doing anything, because they don't want to be the one that says, hey, we found a smoking gun, we found a silver bullet. Mr. Obama, you need to leave office. For some reason, they don't want to be the one. So, which is just disgusting. But that's what we're up against. The Army doesn't want to be the one to say that they knocked their commander in chief out of the box because the long form was found. So, the powers that be, you and I and Reverend Manning and everybody else that wants this thing done, we either have to, this is what I wrote back to Terry tonight, and I told him I was going to be on your show. We've got three things to do. Number one, and I hope we can do this, is we need to delay this trial to give us some more time. I don't know if that's possible, but I asked Terry to ask Paul if he could come up with some weird legal lawyer thing that that lets them, you know, put the trial on hold for even a couple of weeks. That would be great. Give us time to get our stuff together. If that's not possible, then we'll just have to deal with reality. But then the second thing is we have to figure out who is influential enough to push the right buttons, make the right phone calls that lets the Army know that you better be soft on Terry, because if you throw him in hard labor and blah, 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 and the Republicans and the pro-birthers get into office in November, we're coming after you guys. And even some senator or congressman can start some, you know, amendment that, you know, lets Terry out of jail or something. I don't know. I'm just pulling stuff out of my hat here. But that's the thing. We have to figure out who's influential enough in this group that you and I are trying to start that can really, really do something, not just venting and blogging and doing things. They really have to be able to push the buttons. Otherwise, I think it's going to go back to the back burner again.
Mm-hmm. Now, so basically the avenue to Lind is through these other calls, or is it?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to get personally to Lind because, again, like I said, she doesn't want to be the one to say, Obama,
right,
we found you out. So she's not going to do anything. But she could be influenced to either give me a discharge or something that's a lot less than going to hard labor in Leavenworth. There's lots of punishments that can come out of a courts martial that aren't going to hard labor in Kansas. So she's got lots of leeway. She can be soft or she can be hard, and I think somebody needs to convince her to be soft. That's the best.
So
I think
again,
how
maybe it's an offline discussion, but how can we, are there letters to the editor that go out that, you know, talk to Lind indirectly? Are there letters that go to her directly? Are there letters that go
I think one of the smart things that we could do, and I think you and I should probably talk about this in really vivid detail offline, but you know, I really think that we should find, hopefully, some very, very smart, retired, birther-friendly military lawyers who really know their military law, and they can maybe assist Paul in coming up with some stuff that will make Judge Lynn think twice about what she's doing, because
that's correct.
Asking for a simple birth certificate shouldn't be like asking for the moon.
Right, and shouldn't be worth years and years and years of hard labor.
Exactly. That would turn the guy into a martyr, and I think Obama, even as much as he probably wishes this case would go away, I think he thinks that you better not do that, because us birthers will really give him some stick over there.
Well, yeah, if Lagan goes down, I mean, all everything's off, you know?
Exactly.
More Mr. Nice Guy, as far as I'm concerned. But now here's where the criticism is going to come in. I'm just going to be devil's advocate, because I can hear it already from these people.
Sure.
All right, so what? So say we get Terry dishonorably discharged. Nothing ever happens with, you know, finding a birth certificate or not. Is all lost?
Right.
Does that mean that the entire military is corrupt and we get to it and everything is over? Is that an example? What do you think about that?
No, because that would be, you know, giving him a dishonorable discharge. You know, I still think it's incredibly unfair for the military service he's done already. But I think, you know, he'd rather be home with his family than be in jail. No, every sentence coming out of a courts martial is its own entity. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, the military generals and commanders would freak out that, you know, in mass, all these officers and enlisted guys are going to, you know, say they can't get on the plane and go to Iraq because of the Terry Lakin trial. Terry just decided that, I'm a Christian. I think it's a God thing. I think Terry was chosen, whether he wanted to be or not, to be the voice of all of us. And I think he's going to be protected by God. That's my personal opinion.
Ah, well, I am very glad to hear that, you know, because it balances the distress I've experienced in the last couple of hours on this other show where, you know, it was just my way or the byway, and if you don't do it my way, all is lost. And, you know, assembling a battery of people who are ready to batter that thing down. And in the
well,
meantime,
that's the problem with getting some of these
this man
generals
who was sitting across the table with me. You know, it was just wonderful.
Well,
you
know,
it's just like, hey,
that's the problem with a lot of these generals that I keep seeing their names come up in my emails. If they decided to stop, you know, having such an ego and joined in the plan, they could be very, very influential. But some of them, and I won't mention any names, some of them have their own agenda. Some of them have their own legal recourses they'd wish Terry would do, but he's not going to do that. He's going to stick to his basic defense, and I think he should, because all the stuff you talked about before I came on, all these constitutional things of, you know, how do you define a dual citizen, how do you define a natural-born citizen, man, You throw that defense against Obama, he'll fight you tooth and nail, and he'll get, you know, a dream team of lawyers who will take Paul Jensen and make a nothing out of him, throwing him constitutional law and what all these things mean, because they're so open to interpretation.
Right now,
so
they really are, and especially when you've got the general American public sort of dumbed down to think that all it means is being born in the USA. That's a big problem, and this is where they'd love to be, is to discredit the whole thing. But,
you know, then the other problem with, you know, birthers, God love them, but a lot of them don't stay on top of stuff like you and I do, and they decide to kind of jump in because they've gotten an email from their auntie showing a picture of Obama's birth certificate from Kenya with the footprint. And they send that around and say, wow, I just solved the problem. You know, he really was born in Kenya. And Obama loves this stuff because it's like the total disinformation highway on steroids. And the more that this disinformation gets around, it just makes the birthers look more and more crazy. So when we try to be serious, they don't take us seriously.
Yeah, and then, you know, I believe very firmly in death of a thousand cuts, and I believe very firmly in overwhelming them with this stuff. But also, I think that there might have been a different strategy with that Kenyan birth certificate, and that would be to have a forensic analysis done on it.
Exactly.
Forensic analysis, paper, date, ink, people's type, you know, the type, you know, everything. Forensic analysis and put that out there. You know, then go from there, because all it is for everyone who got a copy is another copy of something that might be right or not.
And, well, the reason I mentioned the military lawyer getting involved trying to help Paul is because I just found it so distressing that Judge Lind would have told Terry and Paul already, even before the trial starts, don't even think about asking for discovery. I mean, it's right in the UCMJ manual. It's like right there. I know that when you join the military, some of your civilian, you know, rights of justice go away, but that's right in the manual. He has the right to defend himself, and if there's any evidence out there or any documentation that can prove his case, he's allowed to bring it up. And basically she said, no, you're not. And some military lawyer, somebody who really knows their stuff, needs to fill Paul's ear with what to say and what to show her that she is totally wrong by doing that. And if she continues, and she just, you know, bangs the gavel and says, nope, quit case, you're guilty, Terry, get out of here. It's going to go to appeal, and they're going to get another judge, and that other judge might realize, like, boy, Judge Lynn really dropped the ball here. I can't tell this person that they can't have discovery. It's just not legal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I'll jump off my soapbox now.
Well, that's fine. We could take turns. But that seems very reasonable to me. And in the meantime, we still have to get the word out. We still might consider doing, you know, press conferences and so forth, and we still might, I still, you know, I've got to urge everyone to do everything they can on my blog. I don't have many readers, but, you know, what the heck, you know, let's just keep doing that.
Everybody's got to do their thing. I wrote my own Oregon congressman the other day, and he blew me away because he replied, and in so many words, he said, Gordon, you need to pick your own fights very carefully. I've got so many quote-unquote important things that I'm doing for my state of Oregon that I couldn't imagine helping out in the case you're describing. So, you know, be careful, my son, of picking the right fight, and I'm not able to help you in this cause. Have a nice day. And I just,
you know, it's astounding.
I just lost it reading that.
Yeah, because you at this point, you know, if all it is, for example, is saying, look, you know, do you understand the concept of dual citizen? Oh yeah, I do. Okay, well then you understand the concept of natural born citizen, because you can't have dual allegiances. You can't have that. And you know, when people get that, you know, it's like, oh. I got other things to do here, because you're just showing me to be a stupid-ass person who knows nothing about the Constitution, and they don't know anything about the Constitution. So there's this.
Well, you know, every time I get an email from a non-birther who's really getting in my case, rather than spending half a day trying to write the same stuff and convince them to come on my side, I usually just ask them one simple question. Okay, so I mean, I was born in Brooklyn. And grew up in Long Island, so I even though I live in Oregon, I have to relate to New York. That, you know, I go down when I'm 18 to the DMV to get my driver's license finally when I'm a kid, and I walk into the Brooklyn DMV and I hand the clerk there, you know, who could care less about anything in the whole world, and I hand her my certificate of live birth as my proof, and she looks at it and goes, "Get out of here with this thing." You know, it's just you can't do anything with a certificate of live birth. Anybody who's anybody would look at it and say, don't you have like that birth certificate thing, you know, with the doctor and the hospital and stuff? Don't you have one of those?
And not only a COLB, but an electronic version of it. Try getting a job that way. Oh, here, just look at it online.
Well, one of the things that Barry Fogger and I talked about the last time I was on his show about a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Terry before he actually interviewed Terry. I said, you know, Barry, I said, I'm not mad at Obama anymore. Obama is Obama. He's a creep. He's a Machiavellian jerk. But here's the people I'm mad at. It's the media. Even the conservative media. Could you imagine, you know, when you and I look at all the facts and crazy stuff that's gone on in the last year and a half about this birther thing, this would be a political thriller novel that would be like number one on the New York Times bestseller list forever.
I know.
You know, and there isn't one reporter who will even go after the story. That was my original comment to Barry was, where's the Woodward and Bernsteins anymore? Aren't there any reporters having the nerve to do some really serious investigative reporting on this thing? It would be the story
Woodward
of the
out, here's Right, here's Woodward out with another book today on
exactly.
Obama's wars.
Right.
When this could be this is the biggest fraud ever. So, but this is the balance I try to reach as I've been blogging is because, you know, when you blog or do any writing, you've got to do some research. And so, you know, I'm stuck between, you know, well, not stuck, but I'm stunned and amazed by the larger forces. Like the entire media is owned by, you know, the Saudis, for example.
Right.
Fox News is owned by the Saudis. And, you know, who would have interest in putting somebody in our country that would basically, you know, fundamentally destroy our Constitution by not being eligible and sending all these people into war and spending all the money and destroying our country? Who would do that?
Well, I'll tell you a very quick story I'll give you the short version if I have a few minutes.
Yes, please.
We okay on time?
Yes.
Okay, I wrote, when I wrote Barry the first time, and we really got to know each other over so many months, when Sean Hannity and other well-known personalities go on vacation or whatever and they have to have somebody sub for them, they usually call Barry and he goes in and does their show for them. So I wanted to exploit that a little bit, so I called Barry one day and I said, Barry, you know, I hate to ask you this, but next time you have a cup of coffee with Sean Hannity, could you please ask him why he is so anti-birther and why he doesn't even talk about this? And Barry wrote me back and said, Gordon, you know, I just can't do that because, you know, when you have somebody that's, you know, rowing in the opposite direction, you just can't twist their arm and say, hey, you know, you have to believe my deal. So he said, I just can't do that. So I got an email about 3 weeks later from Barry, and it knocked me off my chair because apparently he went to a big shindig in North Carolina for a weekend, and there was like every celebrity, politician, pundit. It was like a big, big society thing, and everybody who was anybody was there. And Barry wrote me this email when he got back and said, all right, Gordon, because it's you, I went up to Mr. X and Dr. Kate, I wish I could tell you who Mr. X is. And I'm not being coy, but I promised I wouldn't tell who this person is. But Barry said, I went up to Mr. X and I asked him, hey, listen, I've got this friend who I interview on the radio a lot about this eligibility thing. What's the real deal? You know, you should know something about it. Well, this Mr. X, if I told you who it was, he is probably on Fox every other 10 seconds. He's a very, very, very well-known person, and that's who Barry approached. Well, when he asked this person what the deal was, this person kind of looked around the room to see if anybody was listening and looked at Barry and said, I'll tell you, Barry, we all know he's a fraud, but if we do anything about it, it's just going to knock too many of the chess players off the board, and we can't afford to do that. So that was his answer. So Barry wrote me and told me the story, and I just fell off my chair. I said, out of all the things that this country is going through, that this really, really very, very well-known person who knows everybody and everything would say that and just do nothing about it. I just found that it really knocked me out for a couple of days.
Well, and thank you for sharing that, and no problem about the Mr. X, because that's what I think I'm referring to when I say the sort of embarrassment factor or something. Because when you think about taking out Obama, Biden goes out because he knows the entire cabinet has to go, probably with the exception of somebody, but maybe even Bill Gates will have to go as well. And then you think about the Attorney General, you think about the Speaker of the House, Harry Reid, all of these people go down with that, and that's what they're talking about.
It's a nightmare. I agree.
It is, but our Constitution and our states provide us remedy.
Absolutely. If these people who are really in the know that this thing is bad and know he's not supposed to be there, what a statement about what's going on with our society and what people in our government think about the Constitution in general. If they can't treat the rules the way they're supposed to be treated, then nothing in that Constitution means anything anymore. And I have a really, really hard time as a veteran saying that and thinking about it.
Yep. Like right now, one investigation by Congress could place the president as a disability, could place him as Obama as a disability under the 25th Amendment. He would be 44 disabled, and either the cabinet or the House can do that. Just one investigation, it is very difficult to see this, but then it also is, the revelation of our lifetime, yes? The Democrats have their clothes ripped off of them, and we see exactly who they are. The rhinos, exactly who they are. The New World Order coming out of the woodworks, and, the absolute poster child for everything that the founders wanted to avoid in Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 is right there. It's so evident.
The thing that makes me crazy is not just the politicians and people in power that are looking away from the Constitution. The Orly Tases of the world and the Bergs and all these people who have had these trials, They haven't been knocked down by Obama or Biden or anybody else. They've been knocked down by the federal judges. You would think that if anybody was trying to defend the Constitution, it'd be those people, but they don't. Orly does a zillion dollars worth of research and gets all her ducks in a row, and she goes into court, and the guy says, "I'm not looking at that," and just tells these people, "If you don't stop bringing this case to the court, I'm going to fine you." I mean, it's like, hello. So if you can't convince the judges in this country to follow the Constitution, man, we're really lost.
Well, I think we are, because I think that's what the judiciary has showed is how corrupt it is. And then you can get into all these other issues as to why they are, but it's unbelievable. We are in really deep trouble.
I know we are.
And I have to say that I can't, I would like to be charitable, but I can't. I think that there are some activities that were bad for us and that were poorly timed and that created a dismissal record. I would think we would want to try to, corner people into a situation where they really would have no other place to go. And then the disagreements among all of those people has basically confused and turned off so many other people that you have millions of Tea Party people out there who don't care about this either.
Right.
They think they can work on jobs and the economy and get the system back. when
there's you know,
no way
it's funny. One of the things I told Barry one time when I was on the air, I said, Barry, you know, because his daughter had just come back from Europe. He hadn't seen her for a couple of years, and she came back, and one of the first things she did was she went to a Tea Party rally, and so we interviewed his daughter one night, and she was talking about her experience at the Tea Party rally and how she really got into it and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, Barry, I said, the Tea Party, if you look back when they first started and you look at some of the posters that people were, you know, holding up in the air, some of them said, you know, you're taxing us too much, but probably 50 to 60% of them said, Mr. Obama, where's your birth certificate?
Birth certificate.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So there's a whole bunch of Tea Partiers that are birthers too. And that's one avenue that maybe you and I can talk about after this show by email about how to get some higher up Tea Party people to maybe help us with some of these finances
yeah.
that we might need to get this thing you know, going with, you know, signs, and maybe we could make some of those posters like I sent you, and that could be like the
mm-hmm.
you know, the official
mm-hmm.
the official poster of this movement thing. I don't know. I'm just, you know, coming up with some ideas. I don't know.
Well, you know, I think it should be, and even before, you know, even before we have funds, we've got to get that thing out on the YouTube, and we've got to get it up and out,
right.
and so forth. And here's again where I just want to raise an issue I was talking about in the top of my show is other people who are sort of using, you know, their correct view of, you know, how to approach this issue to then raise money for more issues.
Right.
To me is a little disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
They're
using Terry.
Yeah,
they're using Terry and Margaret and I talk about that a lot in our emails. They're basically standing on Terry's shoulders and saying, hey, you know, pay attention to me. I'm trying to help Terry, and you know, by the way, while you're here, can you help my cause too? That's not right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, under the guise of the focus on Lagan. There is this effort, and, you know, sorry, I can't go there, and I'm actually pretty outspoken about that now. I'm probably ticking off a lot of my listeners right now, but I'm not, and I was in the last show on that, and I was very clear that this is not okay.
Good for you.
Okay. Well,
good for you.
Well, yeah, I know. I've just had it. You know, I think the issue, I've worked a lot on the Constitution, but I think it was just some other petition on Kagan that came across my desk, and it was like, you know what, don't send me any more petitions. This guy doesn't have any right to do anything. We have got to get him out, and the precedent I am very concerned about. So I can see a focus absolutely on Lakin, and I'm really looking forward to talking with you about that, and we'll be doing that. But also on...
I have to run to an evening appointment, but I really, really enjoyed talking to you, Dr. Kate, and look forward to continually talking to you by email, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming, and, yeah, we'll talk very soon. Thank you for joining the show.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful show.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Now you're stuck with me the rest of the time, and there's 20 minutes left. Okay, so I get to now talk about the usurpathon, which actually dovetails exactly with this. I know we're going to be focusing on Lakin, and I think the next thing is really there need to be, you know, a core group of people in, you know, wherever we can find them to continue to do what we did, which is to make very targeted attempts to visit with specific congressmen and to also, you know, flood these offices with faxes about not only about Lakin, but basically about this issue of dual citizenship and so forth. Now, remember, there's information out there. The state of Hawaii refused. Let me back up. In my letter to Congressman Issa, which I'll be publishing tonight on my blog, I attached several attachments. One was the fraudulent certification that Nancy Pelosi signed. The next one was the Hawaii certification of the Democratic nominee for 2004, 2006, and 2008, which show clearly that Hawaii did not choose to certify Obama. And then finally, the Pravda article that came out and just ridiculed, you know, ridiculed everybody in the country and the whole thing because there's no proof of where Obama was born. I think if you start breaking down the issue and making those efforts and calls, that's going to be a good thing to do. So that's another thing I would suggest. I'm now beginning to think very much on the lines of the, I think there's an organization that's actually planning a massive sit-in, but I'm thinking that we could make a tremendous statement. And, of course, in my dreams, we all have, you know, the ability to do this and take all this time off, but to start at the State of the Union address when they're all in one place and surround the place and basically not leave until they deal with this issue of Obama's eligibility or he resigns or they resign, I don't care, any one of those things. I think if we take our time to get there, I think the idea of having, you know, several, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, if not more, available so that, you know, you're out there on the line for 2 days and someone else comes to take your place so you can go take a hot shower and that kind of thing. But that we've got to shut them down until they deal with this issue. I think we can work on this to, for example, get with all the truckers in the country who are going to be serious about this issue to shut it down. Maybe it's across the country. Maybe it's not at the State of the Union address. Who knows? But at this point, we have to stop what they're doing until they deal with this issue. I think the focus on Lakin is going to be essential. It's really true. I'm going to be putting up some things on the blog a little bit later on that as well. More letters, letters to the editor, talking with your neighbors, calling up radio shows, calling the congressmen so they know what is going on. There's still so much to do. We are not done. When we were in Washington, you know, we ate at this place that it turns out it was owned by the Senate. We had no idea it was owned by the Senate. We just walked right in. This is what you have to do. These guys are no better than any of us. In fact, they're worse than us, because they've got their own game going on. Who ever heard of a Senate, the Senate of the United States owning a bar, you know, where the minimum tab is $100? You know, come on. And if they don't deal with this issue, they're just being embarrassed. How sad it is, you know, that Gordon just said, that somebody would just not want to be the one to tell the president that he's not the president, or they just don't want to be the one to do that because they're worried about their careers. That's lack of courage for you. That is unbelievable lack of courage. So I see in the chat we have a lot of folks, well, not a lot of, but everyone's kind of sleeping away. If you have any questions, let me know. But I think it's time to take stock. I think it's you know, I put up a post today on very interesting stuff, and here's, you know, in a nutshell, you have to go to the post to look at it, but basically the opposition to us constitutionalists likes to set up a thesis and an antithesis, something on the right side, something on the wrong side, and rub them together in conflict so you end up with a synthesis. And so what is that synthesis that they're all, that they all want? They want our Constitution to go away. They refuse to deal with one of the most basic issues, and they're trying to wait us out. And in the meantime, just for good measure, they're throwing us 50 other things, hard balls and curve balls and foul balls and, you know, fair balls, and not too many of those, though. And we have to keep cashing them. We have to keep working on them to protect our families. We're tethered to our jobs, and, you know, they're rubbing the security and safety against the issue of outrageous violations, you know, rubbing those things together. What do they want? They want us to tolerate those violations. Yeah, maybe follow the law here and there, but, you know, give the appearance of it, but tolerate those. So, you know, when you look at this issue of a whole bunch of influential people attacking Terry Lagan's defense, for what? So they go along with this other definition of natural-born citizen and get wrapped up in this other big thing, versus going after the document, which is what this man in the ring needs. It's the only thing he needs. And like I said, he's like a good lawyer. Good lawyers don't ask questions unless they know the answer. Obama does not have one. So get out of office and let Terry Lagan go. So, you know, what is the thesis and antithesis there? You know, it's basically go my way. Is that controlled opposition? Or is that false patriotism? Or is that truly misguided good intentions? I mean, like I say, this is some of the greatest high-profile generals and high-profile writers and so forth and so on are attacking the defense and attacking the guy personally because he's not this kind of lawyer or not that kind of lawyer. And I think what Gordon was suggesting is a good idea. Find the people who can really work on this judge. But what is the thesis? What is the antithesis? Okay, it's, you know, one of this is the big natural-born citizen concept, which I agree with. I completely agree with. I agree that the legal history and everything goes that way. And the other is the situation where a man needs a piece of paper to be able to follow orders. You know, thesis, antithesis, you know, piece of paper, birth certificate. I used to get mad as well and say the birth certificate doesn't matter because it's his father's citizenship. And then when I got to the concept of dual citizenship, I realized we need the birth certificate because we don't really know if he's American or not. We need to know if he was born in this country or not, even though he's not eligible already. But what happens when everybody thinks it just means born in the USA? How are you going to convince people that they got to go natural-born citizen? There have got to be other ways to do this, and where the piece of paper is relevant, let's get it. Now, is that piece of paper relevant to Phil Berg? Phil Berg says he's representing 300 million Americans. Well, where's the class action lawsuit? Why does he need that piece of paper if he doesn't have a class action lawsuit? Yeah, we all need to see that. But can you see how perhaps his case was thrown out on standing for some of those reasons, aside from the fact that it wasn't right? Because anybody can run for office. You know, I think that the work that JBJD has done to focus on the state level as well is absolutely essential, is to keep going after the state attorney generals to file charges and investigations against Nancy Pelosi in Texas and in these other places as well. I think that's critically important. I also think every state that can needs to have an initiative on its ballot to make sure each, you know, every year as a condition for getting on the ballot, a person has to produce their qualifications. So we are in the midst of probably, you know, the greatest kind of revolution we ever could be in. On the one hand, it is just absolutely maddening, frightening, angry-producing, you know, nightmare-producing, really awful what's going on to our country. On the other hand, look at how much we've grown in our knowledge in the last couple of years. And in a way, I have to think that this is brought to us for that reason. Because now as we look at strategies to take this back, now we're dealing with another issue, which is those false patriots, the provocateurs, those who have innocent motivations but take the wrong tactics or make mistakes that are, you know, sometimes unforgivable, but I guess we have to forgive anyway. And, you know, and then we've got the people who are really trying to work on the issues and trying to see through, and even some of those you don't know because they don't agree with you on one thing or not. So it's a very tricky time for patriots, very tricky time, but make no mistake, there are people who are provocateurs and there are people who are so ego-ridden that they would prefer to leverage patriotism for profit as opposed to actually patriotism itself. Now, remember, the founders didn't do this for getting paid. None of us are getting paid on this. In fact, we're all losing money the more time we work on this. I get paid by the hour. Does anyone else get paid by the hour? you know, this is an hour I could be working, you know, making the bucks. Same with my blog. I swear I spend more time on the blog than anything else. But anyway, so at this point, from here point forth, you can sort of count on every Wednesday night that there will be something on the usurper. We've got to get him out. It's going to be a number one focus. My blog is on the Constitution, you know, but it's fair game to focus on Obama because it's one of the biggest egregious violations, and we can't ignore it. Any way you can talk about this, talk about it. If it gets down to dual citizen, use it. I know that's not pure from the pure natural-born citizen standpoint. It doesn't have all the exact language and sites. Use it, because most people know in their guts that a dual citizen cannot be president. And then you can get to allegiance. Why? Dual allegiance. Look at the State Department website. They already confirmed he was. By definition, they define it. State Department defines it. By definition, a dual citizenship, a dual citizen has two allegiances and must follow the laws of both countries. So now we need to see that jerk's birth certificate to find out if he's American. And you know what? I don't think he is. You know, when you look at the rule of Occam's razor, right, you say, what is the likelihood that Obama is hiding, A, documents that are innocuous, or B, documents that are damaging? What do you think? I think it's documents that are damaging. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me tonight. I greatly appreciate it. Please, prayers and work for Terry Lakin. And if you can find it in your hearts and pocketbooks to support him, please do. And our prayers for our soldiers who are out there fighting for their lives and our lives while Obama worries about keeping the Democratic Party or not. So I'm now searching for a closer this evening. Thank you so much. And, yeah, I think I'm going to do this. The fanfare for the common man. That's us, folks. Congratulations. Let's keep going. Good night, all.